All right. Today, I'm joined by Alyssa Rogers, who's casting associate of Fiona Weir Casting. Alyssa, welcome. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That's the most formal thing I'll do all day, I promise. It's done. Out of the way. Hey, listen, I wanted to start by saying congrats because I saw you're now a premiership member on the CDG a few weeks back. That came through the Casting Directors Guild in the UK. Congratulations. Does that change much for you? Probably not, except, I mean, you're in the guild, but work-wise.
Not much, really. I'm on the EDI panel, which is now, it's to, like, for diversity and LGBTQ community, and just to, like, make a change there, more positive change. So I'm on that panel, but other than that, not really much has changed, apart from, like, just being more interactive and more involved.
Yeah. And is there more support stuff that you can get for the things that us actors don't see through the CDG, like, you know, policy stuff or rates or, you know, certain things that are super niche to a casting around regulations and remits, or do they not support in that area?
They do. Where I mean, it's accessible for us, but I'm just literally learning about it. So I can't tell you too much about CDG because I really just became a member.
Fair play. Well, congrats on the membership. That was the whole point of me bringing up. And look at all these cool things you can learn about rules and regulations. Who doesn't love that? So I like to start, I guess, at the start a little bit with sort of the origin story, if that sounds really cliche, superhero sort of nerdy, but, you know, what's the superhero origin story for Alyssa in terms of getting into casting? How did that all materialize for you?
I know this sounds stupid, but I fell into it, really. I mean, after I graduated from school, I didn't really want to go to university and do languages or anything else. I always wanted to be in the performance and the creative industry. So I started working in a clothes shop first, and then I saw this internship for a TV company, and it was a TV series that I loved watching. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna apply. And it originally was for becoming a director, but they didn't have any spots left. So they said, you know what, try casting. And I'm like, I didn't even know what it was, really. I was like, what is that? So I moved to Munich and started my internship there. And that's where casting started for me, which was back in 2008. Mm-hmm. That's like 13 years ago. And then I just started from there. I did do like study musical theater and drama in between. Then I balanced it all, and it was like a mixture of both. Never crossed the lines, but I just tried to keep it balanced. And then at some point it was like, yeah, casting is really taking over. And so
that's
where I am. Long story short.
It's interesting that you kind of fell into it without really knowing too much about it. Once you were in, obviously you're still doing it now 13 years on, so you must like something about it. Like, what's what's the thing? What do you think was that thing that when you were in it and knew what it was, that's kind of captured your attention?
I think mainly the communication with people. It was a lot about being able to just help people.
And crazy just talk. Why would you do that? Why would you
and create stories that are like, that mean something to the audience, and somewhere like in a world where we're living in now, it's just something that can also be uplifting. And yeah, I think that's the main part, but also most of the part is getting to know the actors and just seeing how they like are grateful for the help and everything. That's what warms my heart.
How's that been over the last year of almost a year of lockdowns? I can't believe it's almost a year. How has that been in terms of that kind of, obviously not being able to see actors in the room anymore, but still doing it online? Do you feel like you've seen more people? Do you feel like it's been more of a disconnect in terms of what, you know, you'd like to be doing in terms of connecting with them? What's your experience been of it all from a work perspective?
I feel like I've been able to see more people.
Okay.
But I do feel there's a bit of more of a disconnection rather than being in person. So there is a difference between person or talking over Zoom.
Sure.
But I do think that I had more chance to see more people because of all the online workshops and events and all of that just made a boom because people had nothing to do. So it was like, oh, let's offer these, let's do that. So that has a positive side, but it was of course the interaction in person that was missing. But you could still get it over Zoom. I mean, Thank goodness we have Zoom and we're living in a modern world.
Yeah, exactly, right? If this was, I mean, even 5 years ago, I've said it a few times, like, this wasn't really the sort of thing that we did on a regular basis, and Skype isn't great, and what would we have done 5-10 years ago? It's like, it would have been an even more isolating experience. So yeah, thank God for Zoom. And now, I mean, I guess, are you also finding that you're seeing from an audition side more people that aren't per se based in the UK or London? Or have you been able to open things up a bit more geographically for some of your recent castings?
Yeah, or? I mean, it's production dependent on the production, sure, what the budget is, where they're shooting at, if they can fly people over from different, that's always been that way. But I feel like it's been easier because we've been able to, like, now the self-tapes are just more and more in the run, so people don't have to come to London to do a casting. So they can pretty much be based anywhere. But again, that depends on the project.
Sure. I'm going back to April and the first person I had on, which was Amy Rain Jackson, who I'm sure you must have overlapped with. Amy, what did you work with her at Amy Hubbard's office?
I know you did. I worked with her at Amy Hubbard's office.
Yeah. So Amy was the first casting person that sort of answered my call to come on the show. So I owe her a huge debt of gratitude for being the first. And we had a great chat. She's the best. And the first, one of the first things that people started asking with her that became a bit of a trend was, what do you think, you know, is going to happen with castings in the long or mid to long term? Do you think it's self-tapes and Zoom in perpetuity now? Or do you think that we'll eventually go back to in-person first auditions? That was almost a year ago. Now we're sort of February, almost 2021. We've started to have the industry moving a little bit again. I know there's no answer, but what are you seeing and what does your gut say on that? Do you think we'll ever get back to auditions in the room at a first stage, or is there a reason not to?
I think there will be auditions in the room again because we have been doing it.
Okay.
So our office has had it. But we, of course, with certain regulations and distance and safety measurements and all of that, and there is, you have, like, there's much more paperwork to do and everything, but it's just nicer, and it's just the whole human interaction, and it's doable. But it's just that productions have to, like, adapt to it. So I think it's a time of adaptation, you know what I mean? And I do think they're going to try to find a balance, and I hope it's going to go back into more person castings, but I think it's gonna, for a while, it's gonna be quite still mainly self-tapes and Zooms, and then I'll come to a balance, and then I think people will go back into person. I hope, but I can't predict the future, so I don't know.
I mean, that is why I had you on, Alyssa, to predict the future and just future. Yeah, exactly. But you know, like, who's going to be the next president after Biden got sworn in today? Like that kind of thing. I thought we could touch on. Did you watch? Did you have time to watch the inauguration?
I didn't, but my dad, because he's American, he said, thank goodness the nightmare is over and Biden is finally president. So yeah, to that. But I'll catch it on online later on.
I'm sure it's going to be doing the loop on all kinds of platforms. But yeah, it was weird. I wasn't expecting to have a massive visceral reaction, but there were a few moments where, you know, even me as a non-major political person was like, no, this feels a lot better.
Yeah. Definitely
feel like the nuclear button's not going to get hit on this one, which was definitely a nice place to be in. Okay, off politics, back to acting. So you're doing obviously lots of self-tapes and Zoom stuff now. Are you doing more Zoom than self-tape? Is it a bit of a mix?
It's self-tapes first stage, and then when it comes to callbacks, it's Zooms. So first stage, initial stage is self-tapes, and then based on who we want to call back, it's then the Zooms.
And they're, I mean, I see them as two very different mediums in some ways, because obviously at least the Zoom, we get some direction from you then and there, whereas the self-tape, as it always has been, you kind of get the notes and you break the breakdown, and then you kind of have to go and do your thing, send it off, cross your fingers and hope for the best. With Zoom, what kind of sort of tips or bits of advice could you maybe give to actors on things that you've seen work well, or maybe stuff that isn't something we'd even think about? I mean, I guess a lot of it's tech related, but is there anything that stands out for you as key Zoom
I
performance
think
stuff?
If possible, make sure you have a reader. Because then that's that way the casting director, the producer, director, whoever is in the room, such to speak, can concentrate on the performance rather than having somebody needing to read in. Because the more people on Zoom, the more complicated it gets. So it's better to have less people on Zoom. So then the casting director doesn't have to read in. And that's the first thing I would say. So if they have a reader, that's always brilliant. And then just make sure you know where to keep your eye line, because sometimes I think it depends on the casting office or on the audition. They prefer the eye line directly into the camera, or like, I don't know where, but I think those are two main tips I would give.
Right.
And then otherwise, I think it's pretty much the same as a normal audition would be, really.
The eye line one's interesting because obviously it is a weird kind of one to gauge. What's your office's preference on that? Is it look direct to the camera, or is it just look at the person on the screen?
I think it's looking at the person into the screen, but we haven't had that kind of conversation.
It just feels weird, right? Like if you were looking right down the barrel of the camera, I can't really see you. It looks like I'm mildly psychotic. Would you suggest actors ask that question going in beforehand, or
only if they're not sure?
Sure.
Only if they're not sure. If they've made a choice, go with that choice, and then it'll be fine. They just do it, and if need be, they can just do it again. But if they're not sure, I would always ask beforehand.
And are you guys asking them to record the audition whilst on Zoom on their own phone or DSLR, or are you just doing it off the Zoom?
We record the audition, so they don't have to worry about anything like that. They just have to make sure they're there maybe 5 minutes before time, before their call time, like normal audition. Have a reader, know your stuff, and then just rock it.
Same, just with a few small technical additions to add in. And do you ever, last question on Zoom, is it always seated, or do you ask them to use the space and stand up if the scene calls for it? And then if so, how do you adjust that with the camera? Because it can start to get really distorted and warped in terms of proximity.
I think so far I haven't experienced that yet, to be honest.
Okay.
Because it's always worked out so far.
Okay.
So whether it was seated or standing, it didn't really matter, because so far I haven't had any issues or heard of any issues, because I haven't attended that many Zoom auditions. But to my knowledge, I haven't heard anything about that.
Sure.
Being a problem. Yeah.
And like you say, it's pretty much just a case of do your thing, prepare, and do your performance as best as you can, and don't get stressed out about the technical stuff. And
exactly. Exactly. What, it's all about the acting in the end.
Sure. What about from the sort of side that we don't see as much as actors, from the casting perspective, with, I guess, logistics? There must be a lot more to go through right now with COVID and all the protocols for you guys. How much extra time and work is it involving? As she smiles as I ask that, that says all, that's like a shitload. Please don't pull on that thread. Okay. So the nightmare of COVID must mean that there is loads of extra paperwork for you to have to, because it's admin heavy as a job at times anyway. Is this just like doubly so?
Yeah, maybe even more. Like, even agents were like, how many more paper forms do we have to fill out? And we're like, we know, it's insane. But it, better safe than sorry.
Sure.
But it has, like, gotten a lot more admin stuff.
Are you getting more time then on projects to sort of process it? Or is it the same time scales? Just so it's bite of weekends doable. And evenings. It's
somehow doable. I don't know how we manage it, but I think because Fiona's office is just so well, the team just works so well together, we just bounce off each other, so it's really good. So I haven't had to have like stressful moments yet.
And to be fair, casting always seemed to find a way to make it work and come together. There's always that kind of manicness, but you guys just pull it out from somewhere and it always comes to fruition.
It works out somehow.
Yeah, right. You've moved around sort of and freelanced at a few different offices. And we mentioned, obviously, Amy Hubbard as an example there. Do you feel like with where you're at now, you found that kind of tribe or that kind of family? Or and I'm not asking you to say what your career projection is going to be, but the running thread from a lot of people is they do kind of move around a bit until they find that place where they really feel that vibe. Do you sort of feel like you found that now at Fiona's? It sort of sounded like maybe that is the case.
Yeah, I think for me, every office brought a different vibe and energy that I needed at that moment when I was there. Because I adapt quite well to whoever I work for. And you learn so much from every person that you work for because they all work differently. So it just brings out different strengths and flaws that you have to work on. You just learn a lot more about yourself. So I found a family in every casting director I've worked for. Like, I have great relations still, talking to them, seeing how they are. Fiona's lovely. I mean, my colleagues are wonderful, and I know I'm at the right place at the moment, and I really want to stay at Fiona's for a long time, as long as she wants to keep me, but I can't tell you that I might be somewhere else or do my own thing at some point.
Sure. Yeah, makes total sense. And I realized that was actually quite a shitty question, but probably
it wasn't. Don't worry.
A really good, I'm not worried. I'm just saying, I know it's a shitty question, but it's probably like the best answer to give because it makes total sense. You do kind of, I guess, get what you need at that point in your life. And those people come in when you most need it. And with where you're at now, it's where you're supposed to be and clearly very happy. And so that's the main thing. Do you find, because obviously you started doing casting in Germany, the process obviously is going to be the same for the most part, but are there any little like nuanced differences that you found in terms of how it's approached in a different country to say the UK market?
It was quite different in Germany. It was a different kind of casting office. It wasn't the typical casting that you would have. I don't know how to explain it, but we had like a database full of, I don't know how many people, like 300,000. Oh, I'm terrible with numbers, but huge amount of actors. And then our process was going through the database, basically like Spotlight. But also going out to the agents' websites and look at the actors. And we would never put down a breakdown. Like, that was not how we worked. We would have our script, look at the characters, and then we could go to the state database and then search them. And then based on their showreel, they would get the parts. So they never really auditioned. It was asking the agent, are they available? And then the network would just say yes based on the showreels. So they never auditioned, really. So that was a different
process. So very different process. And it sounds like maybe a little less creative for you as a casting person.
It was less creative, which is why I got bored and I needed a challenge. And then when Jeremy said, Alyssa, come to London, I didn't question it. Basically what I did, I quit my job on the Friday, moved to London over the weekend and started working for him on Monday. It was so spontaneous.
Wow. Wait, did you have something lined up already to come over, or did you get it over that weekend?
Well, pretty much over that week, like with Jeremy, I spoke to him in the week and then I quit my job that weekend and moved to London. So amazing. It was, within a week, basically, I just said, I'm going to go.
When was that? Like six years ago?
April 2016.
I marked to the month.
Yeah, and I can even tell you when 4th of April was the first day I started, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bang on as well. So it's clearly like a massive point. And I guess you must have then learned a lot about that creative side working in those kinds of offices that you didn't have access to before.
100%, yeah.
Amazing. Do you have any sort of like, I hate this question, but I like it too. Any like bugbears of sort of an actor when they come in? Well, what I was going to say, when they come into the room, or like any sort of actory bugbears that you think can easily sort of be negated, or I guess things that you just would prefer not to be brought up or seen, or things that actors could do better that are easy fixes? Again, shitty question, I know, but I feel like it's...
What actors should as in bugbear, because I don't know that expression. Sorry, you mean what
they an annoyance isn't quite the word, but I guess like, you know, a little, like, yeah, it could be, it doesn't have to be performance based. It could be something to do with, you know, reaching out too much, or how they carry themselves when they come into the room, and if it's not professional, or, you know, things that you feel are just simple traits that could stop the actor from getting in their own way.
Apologizing over and over again, like too much.
Is that a very British thing?
Don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I could say it. I'm British.
Because that will make us question, oh, how are you going to be on set? Are you going to be confident enough to do this? Or are you not going to be able to stand your ground? So just be sure you got it. If you're prepared, give your best shot. Just be kind, be nice, listen. And don't be too like schmoozy or too over the top, because we get that. We sure. feel that when actors are too nice, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to please. Sure. That's what I mean. That's what I'm looking for. And yeah, you don't have to send an email every week to remind us who you are. That's another thing. So I think in regards to emailing, if you have a new show reel or a new headshot or a reason to email, that's all fine. Good. Yep. Other than that, I always say that label yourself tapes. I know that I always bring that up. Label yourself tapes.
Why do you normally get stuff coming through that's like DVI 0007? Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And so even now? Well, that just feels like something that we've done enough
sometimes,
of.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes still. Not as often, because I think people are now learning, but sure. still sometimes. It's the same with NDAs. They don't label their NDA. It's just NDA copy 01. Where I'm like, just put your name so we don't have to decipher the signature.
Well, it's not like you have 2,600 of them in one file that you have to figure out, right? Exactly. Come on. We want to give you more admin because we can tell that you love it. So we feel like we should throw more of that your way. The not apologizing thing comes through a lot, and it's a common thread. And I think it's always that really difficult one, because it comes, I guess, from that. It's that balancing act of wanting the job and the role, but not wanting it to the point that it's desperate.
Yeah.
And obviously that, I don't know how you necessarily just magically get there. I think sometimes that just comes from experience of not getting a lot of auditions, or just doing enough of them that you can be a bit more at ease with it, or doing non-acting work, as in, you know, personal development and personal growth stuff outside of just doing the acting circuit and putting all your eggs in one basket. But that's my take, and that's kind of what I usually seem to say. But it'd be keen to know if you have any views on, maybe I'm missing something. Is there anything you think that can help with that? Especially for actors starting out, you know, like, what's your view?
I agree with you, not to put all your eggs in one basket, but just not to be dependent on it. Because when you're dependent on it, you're desperate, and that will show. And you have to find some kind of balance, I guess. You, as in doing something outside of acting work, I think that's always good. Of course, keep your focus on it, but also do other things, what you said with personal growth and everything. And for young actors, keep on being proactive. Expand your skills. You can even meet up with groups on Zoom or write your own stuff. That's what I also tell people, like, write your own stuff. Normally actors are so creative, they know how to write. It's not easy, but they can write the stuff they want to do. And I will always keep a plan B in the back head. Mm-hmm. Still stay with the acting, because if you're passionate and that's what you want, you can get it. You just have to be patient, trust in it, and just I say this, and people probably know me, I just say believe in it, because it will happen.
And there's no overnight. I mean, there's no occasionally there is, and I think that's where it gets a bit frustrating, because people look at the one or two odd occasions where it happens and think, well, that happened in a week for them, but for the most part, it's 10 years, 13 in your case, 15, whatever it might be, and
exactly.
Overnight success. Yeah. I had a question, it's gone, so I'll move on. I forgot totally what it was. Can it be a good one? With my next one was going to be, I guess, around sort of one-liners and two-liners. We're talking about people just starting out, a lot of what you're going to get is going to be, I guess, smaller roles. It's easy to want to put a lot onto those, you know, the one or two lines and create a whole backstory and all that and really get in our heads about it. And they can be sometimes the most challenging ones to do in some cases. What's your insights, I guess, for actors when it comes to those smaller one or two line co-star roles and how to approach them?
I think, of course, you don't have to create a huge background story. It's helpful, I think, because every role is important, no matter if it's one line or if it's the lead role. And sometimes one-liners would stand out because they brought something, a sparkle to it, or they made a decision and, ooh, there's more about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing I would say is just keep it natural. Again, don't focus too much on it, of course, but I think use that to just show off your skills. You can listen, show that you can listen, know who you're talking to, what your relationship is with that person. Give yourself a little background story, I think, because it still creates a more interesting picture. And then sometimes directors would say, oh, I really like that. Let's evolve that character. You never know. Mm-hmm. Because you brought something interesting to it. You don't have to overemphasize on it, but bring something interesting to it and just keep it natural, but don't stress too much on it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And it's sort of like, how do you balance? And then it's the balancing point, because it's like, yes, do the extra flavor, but don't show me all of it at the same time. And I guess it's that balancing act of not trying to show you with that one line that I've got a backstory that I've decided that my character is having an affair, because no one cares, because it's just to move the story along in this instance. I mean, this is one that comes up, I guess, from actors a lot, because we like to moan about we don't get feedback and how can we not get feedback on our, you know, auditions. And I get it. It's impossible with the amount that you guys do to feed back to everybody. But is it something, I guess, that is the office that you're in? Can you do that? Do you feel like it happens more sort of the later stages with some of the auditions? And should actors, again, just not take it so personally and move on, because you guys are just crazy busy?
I think don't take it too personally and always move on. Like, don't think about it too much. And most of the time, the reason is not that you're not good that you can't act. It's just because of this character worked better for this one, or the producer liked that one, the director liked that one, so they had to find a compromise and went with that one instead because of so-and-so-and-so. But that had nothing, most of the times, it really has nothing to do with the acting of people. We do give feedback. If an agent asks us specifically for feedback, we will give feedback, but we can't give feedback just out like that. So everybody that came in, we can't give feedback, but if we are asked, we will.
Sure.
So if an actor wants feedback, he can always ask his agent or email us. I'm happy to give feedback. I won't probably be able to give specific details all the time, but we watch all tapes, so we can always, if we find a minute, watch it back and say, oh, you could do this and this was lovely, or you did a lovely tape. And if we say that, believe us. Mm-hmm. And just know there was a reason why it didn't work out this time, but you know that you did a good job and just keep on going.
Yep. And I guess, like you say, it's so many moving parts to the jigsaw puzzle that you have to manage.
So many. Yeah.
Absolutely. And with those tapes that you guys, I mean, just with your office specifically, what do you guys do with those tapes? Do you kind of just log them in the memory banks and keep a note in a file of those actors, especially if you're seeing their work for the first time? I guess you can't store all of them, but how do you guys, I guess, process that for future projects where you may want to bring them in if you think they're suitable for something else?
We have them all safe. Okay. On Cast-It, because most of the projects we work through are on Cast-It, and okay, all of the audition tapes are on there. So sometimes we would go back and look through projects and look at those people that taped for it and see, oh, who was good. And you will remember, names will stand out once you look through it again. You're like, oh yeah, I remember him, her, there and there. And even if I go to Spotlight, or we have our lists that we keep on file, we have the people safe, so we can always scroll through and we will remember it. So no need for actors to think, oh, we are forgotten, because you're not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. I can see someone in the waiting room, so I'm going to give you that break from me, like I promised. And I'm going to bring in, oh no, now two people in the waiting room.
Woo!
Hold on, one at a time. Let me bring in Lucy, because she was supposed to be first in. I hope she's ready. Lucy? Hello? There we go. Hello.
Hi. I apologize I'm so late.
No, it's okay. We were just getting to the point where I said, people are in the waiting room. I should shut up and and bring them in. So you're actually bang on time. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to give you your 5 minutes with Alyssa to just chat, ask questions, do your thing.
Hey, Alyssa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm mainly coming on just to say, I am the biggest fan ever of, Ted.
Lasso. Lasso.
Yes!
The American soccer coach.
It's the best show. It's so amazingly cast. It's the scripts are insane. And the way they've done it is just so beautiful. So that's kind of, I'm here fangirling going, you've just... Wow.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's amazing.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Haven't they been nominated for a bunch of awards, or at least, was it a Critics' Choice?
Critics' Choice, Casting Director Awards, and maybe Golden Globe. Ooh. Eventually even. So, but we'll see. I mean, I've never expected to get that kind of resonance back. It was like, whoa. So very happy about that.
Yeah, because I first heard about it, Brené Brown was raving about it and saying It was like her favorite thing on TV. And so I was like, oh yeah, I got to check it out. I got it. And then I was just like, and I was hooked. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. So yeah, I'm just saying I can't do season two. I wish I was there for Theo. But yeah. It was. I loved it. I loved casting it. It was so much fun.
Because I know Theo from, when she was an agent before she became a casting director. So long time. But where are you? Are you?
I'm working for Fiona Weir at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm in another really amazing.
Another amazing woman. Yeah.
So another brilliant woman casting office. So I thought you were going to say like you were in the States or something. I don't know.
Nope, London. Yeah,
that's London, me. Like all of us in Europe.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And they're filming season two now. And I think, I don't know if they commissioned season three already, but I spoke to one of the cast members actually on season two, and he's like, Alyssa, we miss you. And I was like, oh my gosh. It makes my heart break a little bit. I was like, I wanna go and see you guys. So I might like say hi if I get a moment or something. It was, and Jason is such a wonderful man. I mean, the whole team, they're so lovely as well.
Well, I think that his energy and spirit is the key. I mean, like, it's just, if anybody hasn't watched it, just go and watch it now and you'll thank me forever.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
Ash was kind of why I came on.
Fair enough. Aww. I love it. I'm always happy for people to come on fangirl or fanboy. So works for me. Now I'm like, okay, should I get Apple TV and subscribe to that as well? I feel like I have to. There's loads of other good stuff, to be fair. There is loads of other good stuff.
Yeah, and hey, just binge for 7 days and then think about it.
What do you think I've been doing with everything for the past year? I've been binging everything anyway, like all of us. Oh. My bank manager is going to go, another outgoing, huh? Okay. That's true. It's a business expense. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah. It's so nice to see your lovely face as well.
Likewise. We'll have to catch up soon.
Yeah.
We will.
That'd be good. Anyway.
Thank you for coming on, Luce.
Thanks, Lucy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Aww.
I didn't know she was going to fangirl. I thought she was going to have, like, questions. But I prefer that she fangirled, to be fair.
Yeah, it was so sweet. I'm almost blushing. I'm like,
oh, really?
A little bit.
But you've done good work. So do you feel like, I mean, it's totally cool, but do you not feel like, but yeah, like I got this. I should be.
I'm getting there. I'm getting to that mindset.
Right.
I'm getting there. Yeah.
You know, especially when this thing goes and wins some awards. What's it? It's up for a few categories, isn't it? At the Critics' Choice.
Critics' Choice, Best Actor, Jason.
Best actor, Comedy.
Best Comedy, maybe, yeah. And then the Casting Director Awards, and then yeah, eventually the Golden Globes. We'll see February.
Is that when they're announced? I guess so.
Third of February. Yep. And the Golden Globes are happening on my birthday, so I'm just taking that as a sign.
That is a sign from the universe that you have to both get nominated, win, and
yeah,
I guess go to the virtual ceremony?
Probably. We'll see.
Whatever. One step at a time. One day at a time. That's the lockdown mantra, no matter what. Cool. Let me bring in Julia, and she can... If she fangirls as well, I'm going to lose my shit. I hope she does. Hello, yes, Julia, we caught you.
I saw the
drinking your tea and putting it down. No,
it's not wine, it's allowed, right?
Well, I mean, I didn't say it was wine, but now I think it is. Anyway, I'm gonna be quiet. Say hi to Alyssa and, you know, 5-10 minutes to have a bit of a chat and ask away some questions.
Thank you, Ashley. Slide my thing. Hello, Alyssa.
Hey, Julia.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. Yeah. I was wondering, first of all, just how the casting world is at the moment. Just are things still happening? And if so, kind of in what way at the moment?
Yes, casting things are happening at the moment. It's picking up slowly because I think productions are adapting to COVID or trying to adapt with COVID, how to like safety measurements, regulations, distance, everything. So it's slowly picking up, but still also productions sometimes go back on hold or on pause. So it's still like a slow thing.
Yep.
And I can't say if it's gonna continue like that or have a fallback. Don't know what's going to happen with COVID, but I do know that things are slowly picking up again. Let's just hope it goes that way.
Yeah. So, are you still seeing people in person? Are you still seeing actors in the room, or is it all via tape and Zoom and things now?
Mainly via tape and Zoom. We have had in-person auditions before lockdown, before Christmas, but that was like an exception to the rule. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. it's slowly getting there with in-person auditions, I think, if there's like some special occasion, if the director is there or something like that. But otherwise, I think just stick to the rules and try to make it as safe as possible.
Okay. Thank you. I have another question. I was wondering, when you're casting something amazing like The Offenders, which you've been casting recently, what's the first thing that you would look for in an actor? What would be one of the first things you might look for when you're casting for a role?
The first thing, that's a good question. Well, the first thing that sticks out to me is the headshot. That's the first thing that we get anyways. When we get the submissions from the agents, the first thing we see are these thumbnails of headshots. So that's the first thing that sticks out. And then it really is the performance. What they make about it. You can see if they've done their work, if they've brought something to the role, if they've actually had a proper think, or they've actually made up their, they've actually, yeah, if they've done the work. You can tell.
Okay.
You can pretty much tell who's done the work and who stands out for you based on their performance. I know it's a stupid answer, but it's the headshot first, and then it's the performance that they bring.
Okay, so when they've taped. So yeah. before someone sort of got the opportunity to tape for you or come in for you, would headshot still be the main thing that you would look for in submissions and things? Would that be the number one? And then what might you look for next before you've actually seen the actor?
That would be the next step, headshot, and then if not 100% sure, showreel.
Yeah.
Look through the showreel. But it's the headshot or people that we've already known, or we think, oh, we saw them for that, they could do this.
Sure.
But it's really what we think. Yeah, I would say, let me just think back how we've been doing it so far. Yeah, based on suggestions that we get, submissions, we look at the people. We do scroll through showreels, but it's mainly the headshot that stands out. And then it's really about the performance, because sometimes we don't have the time to watch all the showreels.
Yeah, sure.
But with self-tapes and everything, we have a chance to see more people rather
yeah.
than in-person auditions, which is also a good thing, that we can get more people in to be seen.
Yeah, more opportunities perhaps for people yeah. you've not seen before.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. With a self-tape, would it because I've had this situation a couple of times where just at the moment getting readers has been tricky. So I had some actor friends who volunteered over Skype and things, and it just hasn't worked technically with timing and things. So my husband has had to read for me once or twice,
mm-hmm.
and it's really bad. It's really bad. I mean, he hates it as well, but when it's you know, it's either him or my kids, so it's like I need someone to read. I don't know, it's a bit of a bizarre question, but if you've sort of done your homework, you've got made your choice, you've read with what you've got, do you think, you know, would a bad reader really put you off, do you think? Or do you think you could see past that?
I see past that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes what people do is they record their own voices or record the reader's voices and just time it really well.
Yeah.
So, because they do get into that kind of rhythm. How to react, or they can time it quite well, so that can also be a possibility that you just record the reader's lines and then you just do it that way.
Yeah
Sorry, but a bad reader doesn't really put me off. I don't really pay attention to that.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know.
You can tell your husband to rest easy now.
He starts to swear every time I'm looking, like, I need a reader.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, what's the most fun work project that you've cast?
I think really Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Yeah. It was just, the scripts were just great. And it was just so fun.
Just funny.
Funny. I love doing that comedy. It was a great joy. It was quite a lot, sometimes a bit chaotic, but we managed. And it just, yeah, worked out well in the end. Yeah. So it was fun. Yeah, I think that was my one of my favorite projects to work on. But I love all kinds of projects. Like, yeah, they all bring something different to the table.
Oh, fab. Thank you. I don't know how much time I've had to stay with Ash.
There should be someone else coming on, but they're not here yet. So you can have another minute if you have a question. If not, it's all good.
Well, I have like the most boring question, which I try and avoid asking because it's so boring and everyone asks it, but it's always the question that first comes into my head, because it's the old, you know, how you get on a casting director's radar if you've never been seen by them before, which I know is the worst question, but it's still, I ask it just in case there's something else, a new nugget.
No new nugget, I'm afraid. You'll probably hear the same that you always hear from us all, is just being proactive, sending in your email when you have like a new update, a new showreel, a new headshot, invitations to an online theater play, anything that you've done, send it out.
Email it through. Okay.
Yeah, there's no golden nugget, I'm afraid.
It's just keep going.
Keep going and it will happen. Just keep going.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Alyssa.
No worries, Julia. Lovely to
meet you. Lovely to meet you too.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye. I was going to say send courier pigeons, or maybe get like a plane to fly over like where you work and
banner.
With a banner, you know, or like those missing people things you get in the States on milk cartons, but just put them on like, you know.
Yes.
Oh, that's like the new postcards. They never did them. They never did them in the UK, but in the States, it was all about back in the day. People would send postcards. The amount of money I must have burnt on just like sending out headshots and sending resumes, and now thank God for digital. Thank God for digital.
But to be honest, I think maybe even you would stand out sending it in a letter, because that's what we don't receive anymore. So that would actually make like us bring more attention.
Watch, everyone who listens to this is now going to start sending you resumes in the post.
Yeah,
it's just the law. But I get it, but it makes sense because nobody does digital. So now it's like you go back the other way, and what might get attention that used to be the norm.
That is actually true, because I remember before, at Fiona's, we got like 3 envelopes or something, and that did grab my attention more than emails, to be honest. But of course, I would still look at the CV via email, but it's just like people nowadays are so happy if they receive a letter or a postcard, because it's so old school, but you just are happy about it, because it's just so.
I mean, I would be too. People don't know how to write anymore. I mean, I heard that they don't teach cursive in some schools in the States, for example. So eventually, it might be that we actually don't have postcards or handwritten letters at all, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, well, I've met you already, but I'm going to write in a postcard at some point, just randomly to the office. Just to say, I told you I was going to, so here you go.
In person.
Let's not get carried away. cool, let me bring in Lisa, who's in the waiting room. And then there's one more after her, and we'll wrap up after that.
Okie dokie.
Because I'm mindful of your time, and you've been working all day.
Oh, all good. I don't mind at all. Is it Liza or Lisa? Liza.
I'm not going to pretend like I know.
Hi.
Ask hello.
Yes, I mistimed my shower. Not a good start.
It's all good. And now you're like, now you're melting into the background of the northern lights.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good. So I see that you speak 3 languages, and then you've probably already discussed this all.
Not really, actually.
So you've worked in Germany and Denmark, and I'm just wondering if you've got quite a handle on the whole of European and UK casting, or how do you see, because it's kind of becoming quite a center, London, or it was, but now we've got Brexit. So do you see so much casting for shoots in Ireland and the Czech Republic, or not the Czech Republic, you know what I mean, Prague and all of that still going on, or is there going to be a new center for Europe?
Yeah. I can't tell you if there's going to be a new center for Europe. I think London is still like the main place for it. Let me just quickly rewind what your question was apart from that. Sorry, one second. My focus has been on the UK casting, to be honest, because the German casting was very different, as I spoke to Ash about previously. But I still feel like, well, productions are going to shoot everywhere still, like you said, Ireland, Prague, wherever, and then people will just have to work around whatever is going to happen with Brexit, because I really haven't had to deal with that just yet as much, so I can't really tell you how that's going to work out, but I still, London is going to be like a main focus.
That's good. I just saw some breakdowns already saying you have to have an EU passport to submit and stuff like that.
I'm sure that some will have to have that now, and it's because productions, again, depending on productions.
Yeah.
So it's just something we're going to have to live with for now, I guess, because it's nothing we can change. But
let's work it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you discussed showreels already?
Not really. So go for it.
I hear that the new thing is to have a 1-minute showreel for everything, and or some short clips of sort of specific characters and genres, especially in America. So I don't know if that's something that you're looking for here, or have you seen in the casting houses you've worked with?
No, that's completely new to me. I know in America, I've heard of that, like the sizzle reel, where you have this quick 45-second thing.
Okay.
But in the UK, this is the first time that I've heard it.
Okay.
Show reels, put your strongest scene in first, because that's the first thing that we see, and if it grabs our attention, we will continue watching. And what I think what most of the offices prefer, if you keep it separate as in a comedy reel and a drama reel, because depending on what you're casting, you can quick click into that one that you need material from, or you need to see what the person, if the person can do comedy or is more of a drama person. But the 1-minute show reel is new to my ears.
Okay. That's kind of good.
Yeah.
Oh, let's say a quick one. Sorry, just quick one on the strongest thing first, because that could vary from people in terms of what does that mean. So in a hypothetical situation, say someone has a one or two line piece in a known show or something with a named actor versus something in like an indie film, but it's much more of a stronger performance with depth to it and layers. What would you suggest is the thing that you would want to see at the top of that reel?
I had that question actually when I did the Castathon as well. And the actress pretty much said, oh, I can actually answer my own question like that, Alyssa. And I was like, what do you think? She said, I think my strongest performance. I'm like, yeah, because you're the one we want to watch. We know that name actor. We don't have to see them. We want to see your performance. And then you can always put in the next one where you're in this show. And then we can see, oh, you've been in that show reading opposite that A-list star. Mm-hmm. But it's about seeing who you are. We want to see your performance and not that.
Whoever.
Who we are, or whoever that is.
Sure.
So, cool. Because you're trying to sell yourself. But that's my opinion. Could be that some people think differently, but no. Because we can always see it in the credits as well. We can see what shows you've been on. So,
yeah.
Why?
Give the casting director credit that they can read.
Yes, exactly. Sure. Yeah. Would be helpful for a job.
Yeah. Cool.
Have you got time for one more question from me? Or?
Go for it.
Yeah. I have a friend who's with a new agency and they want to know her real age and kind of put her real age out there, and it's all about what you actually are versus potentially like playing age or the accents that you can do. How is it in your experience with yourself and the people that you've worked with? Does it matter? What are they looking for?
It doesn't really matter to us much. Sometimes it matters to the production or to the network, sometimes. But we're always on the side of the actor. Like, if we know an actor's age, we will just pretend not to know. Because in the States, for example, you're not even allowed to ask that anymore. But if you look a certain age, if you look like 16, but you're 22, 23, it doesn't matter. Because if you look like you can play a 16-year-old, then that's what it is. That's why there is such thing as a playing age. Why would we need that otherwise? I mean, there's a reason why there is a playing age versus your actual age. So we sometimes do ask for an age, but it's not to be like, we're always on the side of the actor and the agent. And that's sometimes what people forget. But I do understand it, but sometimes we need to ask it for a certain reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And is the same go for your nationality and accent as opposed to if you're just really good at them or that kind of thing?
I don't know. I haven't come across that yet. People have been quite open about their nationality and the natural accent. I mean, that's who they are. That's what makes them unique and individual. So just play on that strength and then just develop the other qualities and accents that you want to do, but always embrace that what you're naturally given, I would say.
Okay. Cool. What's one thing an actor can do to stand out? What a terrible question.
Great.
Wait.
I mean, be prepared and just make sure you've done your best and just then let it go, I think. That's what stands out is the performance for me.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
How do you like to be contacted? Am I allowed to ask that?
We have the email, the suggestions email. You can see it on Twitter. If you look at Fiona's Twitter, you can always see, and that's where we keep our files of actors, and we keep them. We don't always have the time to answer people, but we don't delete it. We keep them on file.
Great. And how different is each project? I think you've sort of already answered that. Is the director very involved in the casting process often, or is it you give them a short list? Are they very different with how hands-on they are in each project?
Yeah, every project varies, but mainly because casting director.
With the actual director or the production of the client company or the.
Yeah, it depends on the project, but it's mostly like it's a balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's variable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh my God, I think you've answered all my questions ever.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I would have said courier pigeon to that question when you had the chance about how to get your attention, but
I should have, yeah. Damn it.
There you go. I'll edit it in. No, I don't. Well, I hopefully not. Cool. Let me bring in Andromeda. She's the last guest to come and ask some questions, and then we'll wrap up after that.
Okey-dokey.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
All good. Right. My usual spiel of I will shut up and let you have 5 minutes with Alyssa. So floor is yours. Do your thing.
Hello.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Hi. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
So how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm really good. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm really good too. Thank you. So I don't know. I don't know what questions have already been asked, but I'll just ask my questions.
Don't ask how to stand out.
That was my first one.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
I didn't have that one on there.
Okay.
I was actually going to ask, what can we do as actors to make your job easier?
Label your stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Label your self-tapes, label your NDAs, make sure you read the email properly. And I think what always is good in general is because normally we don't really like idents. It's for commercials, yes, but I feel like for TV and film, people have now made a thing about idents, but a lot of offices don't like it. So keep it as a separate file when you send in a self-tape. So okay. Then we can choose.
Yeah.
If we want to keep the item or if we don't need it, because I've been spending a lot of time cutting out items, even though the email, for example, says do not send an item. So I'm like, why do I even bother putting it in an email? but I think just, that makes our job a lot easier. It's just to label the self-tapes and NDA and just, I don't think really anything else. Just make sure that you read the email instructions, whatever it is in the instructions. And if you're not sure, just never be afraid to ask. Like, ask away.
Mm-hmm.
No wrong in asking at all.
I think the actors sometimes find that, I don't want to actually bother them and ask this question because it might seem silly, you know?
Not at all, because we want you to do the best job and be the best prepared. So we're more than willing to help or to let you know, we only have this note or you can add this. Like that does not change anything from our side. And that's our job. We want you to get the job so we give you the information we can give you.
Yeah. And do you have any, I would imagine a lot of it's self-tapes right now. Do you have like pet peeves about self-tapes, things that you don't like?
Sending like 5 different versions.
How do you feel about, I know that some casting directors don't mind you sending two versions of it. Do you prefer just like one? Give us your best one.
I think give us your best one, because even though if you have to, there will be a preference for you. You will tend to go to one. And if it's just 51%, go with that one and make it the best one. Unless you can really, really change it, like make a complete turnaround, like the yin and yang.
Yeah.
But if it's just a subtle difference, just send in your best take and know we can always get you to retape with different notes or instructions. We can see if you work for it or if you need a little more direction, we will know. So you don't have to send us two. So send us the one that you really, and focus on that. Mm. Focus on one thing 100% rather than two things 50%, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Great. So what are you watching right now? What is catching your eye?
God damn it. That was going to be one of my last questions. No.
I watched Lupin.
Did you like it?
Yes.
I loved it.
Love it.
Me too.
Hey, No spoilers. I have not watched it. No spoilers. Sorry.
I literally ate it up though. I was just like, oh. It was so good. Yeah.
And then I started The Serpent. What I really liked recent was it Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I saw that with my family. That was
I've not seen that.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, the last film and Viola Davis.
And it was brilliant. It was such a good movie. And I started The Serpent. Other than that, I haven't really had time to watch that much. But I'm trying to catch up on things.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign that you don't have that much time to watch stuff.
Yeah. And I sometimes like rather spend my evening sometimes just reading a book, getting my self-screen.
Yeah. I have to say I'm really getting into the book reading. Yeah. Just nighttime, right before bed, just the book is just like, it's like sometimes I'm going, oh, it's time to go. It's time to go to bed. Cool. Well, I think that's my questions.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Yeah. I think that's probably about 5 minutes, huh?
I wasn't timing, but.
Oh, you weren't timing. Sure. There I was thinking. Sure. Ah.
No, not that terrible.
I do have one. Yeah. Well, one more. What do you feel has been like a highlight in your career as a casting director?
As a casting person, I'm not a casting director.
Associate.
It has had so many highlights. Like there were so many good moments. There wasn't really something that really stood out, but I did like enjoy. I like being on set because I studied performance, musical theater, and that was just nice to do a set visit. It's not a highlight. I think a highlight is when I first see something on screen that I actually cast, like Ted Lasso or Criminal, and I'm like, oh, I see my credit, my name, and I'm like, yes. So that's something where I can, oh, I'm proud of that. But it has so many highlights. That's so many highlights, but yeah, I think to be honest, and I'm gonna say this, like, I think the first when I saw Ted Lasso, the first episode, and I was like, oh, this is great. But there were so many different highlights. I mean, in every office. So
okay, cool, good. So you love your job?
I do. I really.
Yeah.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Wonderful.
Thank you, awesome. Alyssa. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you too. Hopefully I'll see you in real life sometime.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Bye guys.
Thanks, Andromeda.
Thank you, Ashley.
No worries. Bye.
Bye.
I'm so glad you said that you don't like idents.
Oh, good.
Because they're the worst thing in the world to do for an actor. Like it's so awkward. And how do you get the wide shot? And I spoke to someone in the US who's a casting associate as well. And she said it was starting to get creepy because people were doing like these slow pans on themselves. And it just started to be like this weird softcore porn thing. It just, it wasn't working because it was creepy. And like, as an actor, I don't know, like, do we have to tell our story? What do you want? Like just info. We can email you that. I can email my height and all that stuff if you need it. So I'm glad you don't like them. Thank God.
No, we Thank don't need God. Them. Uh-uh.
Good.
Commercials I get with the whole pad thing in it, but other than that, no.
Yeah, it feels like a police lineup otherwise at the end of like a, I've just done my audition for some series show and now I've got to do this weird mime police lineup thing. Awesome, Alyssa. Well, look, I like to wrap this up with 10 really quick fire questions if you're happy to play along. So whatever kind of comes to mind, I guess, whatever your sort of gut instinct would be, it's taken from, did you ever watch Inside the Actor's Studio? Did you ever watch that show?
No.
It was with, the guy passed away now, but James Lipton was the host and he would interview like super famous actors. And he would ask them these 10 questions at the end that he stole from a French interview host. So I'm stealing them from him. Because that's what happens with art. So the first question is, what is your favorite word?
Love.
What is your least favorite word?
Hatred.
What turns you on in a creative, spiritual kind of way?
Inspiration and creativity.
And the flip is, what turns you off?
Laziness.
Fifth question's optional because it's, what's your favorite swear word? So if you don't want to swear, that's cool. But if you're not bothered, go for it.
God, I never swear. Like, when people ever hear me swear, like, they're like, Alyssa, you really must be upset. But my dad always said, Alyssa, that's not what you say. You say, God, not God damn it, darn it. I don't know.
Right, darn it, dash it, dang, God dang it.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't really swear.
Fair enough. Is English your first language, your mother tongue, or is it German or Danish?
It's my first language, but German took over because right. I went to German school. But I grew up with three languages as a kid, but then German just took over. But I still spoke the other two languages. But I was.
What did you speak at home? English?
All three. So we had Danish nannies. My mom spoke.
Oh, man.
And my dad spoke English. So it was constantly changing. But as a kid, you just
No, I get it. I mean, I guess you don't. You just speak it. You don't think in one language to translate to the other, do you? It's just.
I think in German still a lot sometimes. Okay. It depends on where I am. Like if I.
No, I noticed because even at points during this, you kind of were about to say something that was. I could tell.
Yeah.
I get it. Would you swear in German more than in English? Do you think?
No, German. I've never.
Never.
Never. I think coming to London, that's what I
that's first what's done it.
It never happened in Germany, never ever. And then in London when I get really, but it rarely happens. And Alyssa, you really must be upset. And I'm like, yeah,
well, there people know if anyone ever comes in and sees you swear, they know that they need to calm and back away.
Yeah, because I'm like the most patient, calm person in the world. So
amazing. I find it fascinating with the languages, but I can relate as well. But I think it's interesting that you think in German, even though you have the other mother tongue.
Yeah, so it's in German as well, but I speak in English and I dream in all languages. So it depends on who I'm speaking to. I would dream in that language. So it's...
That's awesome. It's awesome. Other people, I don't think, can maybe quite understand it or get it. I know people don't get it when I tell them I don't translate English to Spanish. I can just say it. And yeah. I think it must be the same.
Exactly.
Same for you. Next question is, what is your favorite sound or noise?
I don't know what like sound noise, what do you mean?
It's like your favorite sound, could be anything. It's music. Laughter.
Oh, laughter. Music and laughter.
Music and laughter at the same time.
Well, not at the same time, but
it depends. Music. Depends what the song is.
Yeah. Music and laughter.
What's your least favorite sound? Is there a sound that you hear it that just really you completely hate?
Oh, well, the sirens here in London King, like, and the whole noise. The busy, the police, the sirens, the busyness, or when people, because it's quite, I live quite central. So sometimes people shout at each other in the middle of the night and it's really.
And hard. That's when you start swearing. And now it all makes sense. I get it. It's central London. I understand. Okay. Final few questions. The next one is, what job other than the one that you do or ones that you've already done in the past, would you most like to attempt? Doing
what job? Oh, either going back into songwriting or performing, or helping people by like charity.
Cool.
Animals, like helping people
in like at reservations or just that kind of stuff.
Doing or with kids, teaching, just helping people, I think mainly. Sure. Or and the songwriting performing side. Yeah,
you know that those two combined are kind of what casting is in a weird kind of way though, right? Like it is a little bit like the combo is already there. What job would you never ever want to do?
A lawyer or something really dry.
Accountant.
Lawyer or something really boring.
I hear you. I don't know. We need them though. So if anyone is a lawyer or an accountant,
and people love and flourish and woo.
Yep. They love those numbers. They do. Final question, a little bit more of a sort of ethereal one. It's when it's all said and done, what would you like the story of your life to be? What kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
That I've changed the world for the better, made an impact on the better place, making it a better place, no matter what it was, that people are, yeah, she helped a lot of people in a positive way, or she had some kind of effect that changed the world for the better, because we all need that.
We all do, absolutely. Awesome, yeah. Alyssa. Well, look, final moment, I guess, over to you as we wrap up here. Let people know where they can connect with you if you're on the socials, or if there's a way to connect with you if they want to. And I guess if you have a message at the end that you want to close this with, any kind of sort of main final thought to leave people with as a sort of overarching thing from this conversation.
Okay, cool. So you can contact me on social media. I'm quite easy to find, Alyssa Rogers. You'll find me. Add me, and you can email the suggestions email that you can find on Fiona's Twitter. My final words would just be, believe in yourself. Whatever you want in life, you can get it. If you believe in it, you trust in it, and you just, yeah, you just go for it.
Just do it, as some sports brand said that I can't name for, you know, I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, so anything is possible. That's what I would say. Miracles happen every day.
Thanks for listening to this episode with Alyssa Rogers, casting associate at Fiona Weir Casting. I'd be really, really interested to know your thoughts on what you liked about the episode, some key takeaways, what really stood out for you the most, and of course, any suggestions you might have for future questions you want me to ask guests, or maybe even guest ideas of people you want me to try and get on the show. So if you want to do that, hit me up over on Twitter or DM me on Instagram. It's at Ashley Tabatabai on both of those. I know my name's a weird one to spell, so it's in the show notes. You can just copy and paste it into Google and find me that way. Until next time, stay well.